You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I wanted to give you an update first on the ramifications of what happened with Ben Carson. He was on most of the Friday shows, especially Bill O'Reilly, and I thought did very well, and I think Bill O'Reilly had it right. This is kind of, the best way to say it is this. There was a song in 1969, Is That All There Is? By Peggy Lee. And I do have it on the at the very bottom of my last show's post because I thought this was much ado about very little, actually nothing. But and here's the good news. Ben Carson, his campaign has gotten over $3.5 million and counting in terms of campaign contributions as a result of this. The American people know what's going on. They don't trust the media. They know most of them are in the tank for Hillary Clinton, and they're trying to take him down. They're trying to do character assassination. And I'll be fair, I think Ben Carson could have been just a tiny bit more clearer, but I think this was simply a fact that when he was young, he thought he was offered a scholarship from West Point. And I think that's a legitimate interpretation of that. If someone is telling, you know, you have the good grades, you're the type of person we want, and we would pay for your room, your board, your uniforms, everything, most people, including me, would consider it a scholarship. That's how I considered it. And like I said on the last show, I tried to get an appointment to the Air Force Academy and did. I was unsuccessful with my congressman. I was unsuccessful with my senator, but I was successful getting a vice presidential appointment or nomination. I call it a nomination, but it's an appointment. And see, if I were to go back and correct my last show, I would have said appointment. Instead, I said nomination. In my mind, they're the same thing. That was the very, very first step. But I was very much interested in becoming a fighter pilot. Ben Carson wanted to be a doctor, so he decided not to even take that first step, which to me makes a lot of sense. That's why I think most Americans are going to dismiss this. This was a nice try, but a rather lame try by the mainstream media to really take down, if not damage, Ben Carson's story. And it's a very inspiring story for most Americans. So I congratulate Ben Carson for sticking to his guns. And he handled it the right way. You have to confront this. Now, I always have mixed minds. How should I say this? There's two ways to go. One is to ignore stuff like this. And on occasion I have. Others is just to confront it. I tend to confront things. I'm like Donald Trump. You punch me, I'm going to punch you back. So if you get in my face, I'm going to get in your face. And apparently the press got in Ben Carson's face and he punched back. And I'm glad he did. And I think he showed the American people a side of Ben Carson that the American people wanted to see. Namely, he's a fighter. He is going to stand up when he's challenged, especially on his integrity and character. And that's what this was. They were trying to make Ben Carson out to be a liar when they themselves were lying about what actually happened. And that is Politico in terms of the headline and the story. You know, I've reviewed everything, and I think why he could have been clearer, he might not have known, and it wouldn't surprise me that you need an appointment for the simple reason he had already wanted to become a doctor, even though this would have given him a scholarship. He applied to Yale, and he was fortunate to get in. I think in his back of his mind, he probably thought, if all else fails, maybe I'll take him up on the Army on this. But he was notified by Yale that it was accepted, scholarship, went to Yale, then John Hopkins, and became a very, very successful neurosurgeon. And the rest, like they say, is history. And most people hide their past, anything that's embarrassing. And what was embarrassing, and I would never have said it if I had this experience, apparently he had a temper. And when he got in an anger kind of state, he would punch people. It didn't happen that often. And then he almost, fortunately, hit a belt buckle. He had a knife, tried to stab somebody, and instead hit the belt buckle. Now it turns out he said it was a friend, but apparently it's a relative. They can be the same thing. You can have a relative that's a friend. Not all my relatives are friends, and not all my friends are relatives. So I'm glad for Dr. Ben Carson. I think he's up in the polls. That's what I'm hearing. And I think this was a 1-2-3-day story max. And I think the beneficiary is not his competition, but Ben Carson. And I think more people now will take a closer look at Ben Carson. And like I said on the last show, I asked people, well, who do you like? And what I'm hearing over and over again is Ben Carson. Not Donald Trump, Ben Carson. And I have four people on my list: Ben Carson, Donald Trump, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. I'm a classical liberal. The closest one politically in terms of philosophy is probably Rand Paul. Next is Ted Cruz. Then probably Ben Carson and Trump fourth. However, and this is the key thing, who has executive experience? Who has executive experience? I'll tell you who has executive experience. That's Donald Trump. He inherited some money, but built an organization. And like any organization, see, I dealt with small businesses. Several of them succeeded, several others did not. And that's just the nature of business. You're going to have periods where you're booming and periods when you go through a recession and during a recession. I've told this story before. I had a very successful client. I'm not going to name the business because I got to be a little bit careful here. One day I had an appointment. I think it was to talk about group insurance. I forget. Or a retirement plan. Something that he wanted to meet, I did. And he was telling me a story that he was this close from handing in his bankruptcy papers. And then they were fortunate to get a big order, and it got paid promptly, and that enabled them to continue, and now the economy turned around, and business was back up. And this is something that's very sensitive to the economy. When the economy goes in the recession, people don't buy this product. It's not necessarily a high ticket item, but people just simply, when you're in a recession, people hold back, and they wait, because they might lose their jobs. And he was in a business that was very, very sensitive. If the economy was booming, his business was booming. If the economy was in the tank, his business was in the tank. The reason I'm telling this story is some people or some businesses fail in that situation. Some continue, and some try to avoid it. And it's really, and Donald Trump has been there. He knows that. So in terms of the economy, which I think is the biggest set of issues that Donald Trump has to deal with, he's probably the most qualified, and he has the leadership skills, and he's run a very large organization. For all those reasons, those are experiences, achievements that are very valuable when you're running a large organization, probably the largest organization in the world, namely the United States government. That's why I say, if you ask me today who is going to be the nominee, it's going to be Donald Trump. Who's going to win? It's going to be Donald Trump. Does that mean it's going to happen? No, because Donald Trump will beat Donald Trump. In other words, if Donald Trump says something that's way out of line, he's his own worst enemy. And I've had people say that about me. So I know what they're saying, and I see it in Donald Trump. Because I'm a New Yorker, he's a New Yorker, he's very direct. He'll tell you the way he sees it. If you're doing good, he'll tell you you're doing good. If you're doing lousy, he'll tell you you're doing lousy. Now, I'm a little bit more diplomatic, but when you're running a business and you're paying people's salary, you expect results. That's why you hire people. It's not a charity. You expect them to perform. If they perform, you reward performance. If they don't, you fire. And firing people is not easy. I've had to do it, and other people have done. You don't like to do it because, one, you're admitting you made a mistake, and you know that's not easy. I've been fired. I know that. I've been on both sides of this. So, but the point I'm trying to make is, even though Ben Carson, I think, is still in the race, might get the nomination, I don't know. But in terms of best qualified right now, in terms of the things I'm looking at, it's Donald Trump. He's not anywhere close to my political philosophy. I think he's very much a big government guy, and that's the problem. Both parties today, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, are big government parties. They're not limited government parties. Now, I want to talk very, very briefly, probably 5 minutes. I'm not going to talk very long on this because I don't do sports stories, and I'm really not that familiar with the University of Missouri and their football program. I hear they're not doing well this year. But I was a little surprised that, I think it was around 10:30, I forget the exact time, the president, I believe his name is Tom Wolf, resigned under pressure by a black activist group. I think that was a serious mistake on his part, but he's an adult and he can make the decision that he made. The little reading I've been able to do and learn about this, and I'm not surprised because I used to go to Missouri quite a bit when I was in the Air Force, because the F-15 was being built at the St. Louis Airport at that time at McDonnell Douglas. Now I believe it's owned by Boeing. I know it's owned by Boeing. They bought McDonnell Douglas out. However, I don't think students, whether they're black, white, Asian, should be dictating, and that's what they did. They had a list of demands. You can read them. For those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, at the very top, you're going to see a photograph of me in the studio. Right below it, you'll have a list of the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you have a list of all the shows, and if you click on whatever show you're interested in, it'll take you to that show, and you can play the show at your convenience, either stream it or you can download it and play it whenever. I don't think administrations, as a general rule, should respond the way this president did to the demands of a group of students. Now, this is primarily black students, and apparently the University of Missouri has had problems in the past and apparently today on racial slurs, the N-word being used on campus. I have no doubts that the N-word, as well as some other insulting words, have been used on all college campuses, including the one I'm sitting on. But that doesn't mean you resign if you're president. You need some backbone. And I'll tell you what was driving this. The football players, most of who are black, walked out and said they weren't going to play, and they were backing a graduate student that's on a hunger strike. I would have made it very, very clear and have the coach make it very clear. You have a choice, gentlemen. You can either play football and keep your scholarship, or you're off the team. We're not going to buckle under to the demands of any student or any group of students. If you have a grievance, state it, and we'll try to deal with it. I think the worst possible thing to do was to give in to these students. It sets a horrible precedent. He really should have talked this over with his board of trustees. I understand one issue. I don't know much about Mr. Wolf or the University of Missouri. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if in the past there has been people offending people. But guess what? Once you leave the university, it's going to happen to you, not necessarily every day, but no matter where you are, at work, going to work, coming to work, there are people that are truly racist, and they're out there. And they're white racists, and they're black racists. They're bigots. You see, I'm very tired of people, I'm offended. You have offended me. My response to that is tough. Be offended. Now, I'm not condoning insulting people. I frankly think that's rather dumb. And if you don't watch out, someone will punch you out. And if you do it to a group of people, they'll gang up on you. It's not very smart to go going around on any campus calling people names, because you'll run into people, you call them a name, and they might be in a bad mood and knock you out, or worse. But that doesn't give a right to student activists, and that's what this group is. They have a list of demands. I'm not even going to read it. You see, here's what's going on in society today. You get a small minority of people, and yes, many of them are blacks, but some are whites. And they want you to think they're 10 feet tall, that they have thousands of people supporting them, when they don't. They're just a bunch of agitators, activists. They're troublemakers. Like I said, if you have a complaint, go to the police on the campus, or go to your student government, or go to whatever channel is set up and lodge your complaint with details. I'm not very sympathetic with students doing this. You see, I have a little experience. I went to the University of California, Berkeley, when we had a lot of student unrest. But let me tell you what was really going on. You had a very small group of far leftists that were damaging the campus by stink bombs, and one of them actually burned down the inside of a Wheeler Hall, I believe is the name of it. A very beautiful building was destroyed by fire. I don't know the total population of students then. It's tens of thousands of people. It's a very, very, very large university. But you had a small group of people doing this. And in Oakland, you had the Black Panthers doing the same thing. And they were really running drugs. They're a bunch of thugs. You got to stand up for the rule of law, law and order. Students don't run universities. That's simple. Now, that doesn't mean universities shouldn't be criticized. I am very critical of today what constitutes a college education. And what I'm leading up to, and I've seen it in course after course, they're dumbing down the courses. And the problem is about a third of the people, I'm talking about Richland College here, but it's the Dallas Community College District, anyone that has a high school degree can apply and get in. The problem is, and the instructors run into that, at least 25%, I would say upwards of 30%, can't read. Literally cannot read. They're supposedly high school graduates, but can't read. Ultimately, they drop out. They're wasting their time. They're wasting other students' time. The problem is, standards are not being enforced. Instead, they're lowering the standards. You see, the problem across this country, and it varies from college to college, but only about 25%, maybe 30% at some of the better universities of the people that actually attend graduate. You have a high dropout rate. Why do you have a high dropout rate? The students are not college material. See, some just can't read. Others can read and don't read. In other words, they're wasting their time and money, the taxpayers' money, and ultimately they drop out and fail. That should stop. That's a very inefficient and wasteful of the scarce resources of the American people. So I'm not happy, but not surprised, that this president resigned. I think he made a serious mistake. I would urge him to reconsider if I were the board. I doubt they'll do that. And I would have made very, very clear to these football players, listen, if you want to support this grad student, be my guest, but I expect you to be at the football game Saturday or whenever the next one is scheduled playing. And if you're not, turn in your uniforms and you're losing your scholarship. You see, because the jocks, and you know this, I know this. I've talked to people that have gone to universities where football, you'd think education is the purpose of the university. No, it's sports. And you have courses that the jocks take that are a B and A. They're handled with kid gloves because they have athletic ability. The problem is most of them will never play professional sports, and many of them never graduate, and they've wasted a terrific opportunity. With that, I have to close the show because I have someplace to go, and I might give a little more update tomorrow when I have more information. I've given you some information here so you can make up your own mind. It's on the talk radio. This story really doesn't interest me that much. That's why I picked it, for the simple reason I wasn't going to spend much time on it. With that, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.